This fall, when New Yorkers go to vote and turn over their ballots, they'll find five statewide referendums that they can decide on. The first proposition, which would amend the state constitution's language governing redistricting in New York, has created an unusual schism in the good government community, so we wanted to explore that rift. And to do that, we're joined on the phone by Susan Lerner, Executive Director of Common Cause New York, which is recommending voters approve the amendment. Welcome back to the show, Susan.
Happy to be here, Dave.
And in our studio at the Capitol is Jennifer Wilson, Deputy Director for the League of Women Voters of New York State, which wants New Yorkers to reject the changes. Great to see you in person, Jen.
Thanks for having me.
So as a result of a nickel I tossed in the air Wednesday morning under the keen eye of New York Now's Dan Clark at the Capitol, we're going to start this conversation with Susan. So Susan, in August of last year, you told the Capitol Press Room that this amendment is not everything you would like to see. So why should voters settle for half a loaf, especially before this current process has even gotten a chance to prove that it might be a step in the right direction from what we've seen in decades past?
Well, first of all, there's a very common sense reason to vote yes, which is that the timetable that is in our current constitutional redistricting provision is out of step with the deadlines that are needed for the maps to be finished in time for a June primary. When the current provision was written, we had a September primary. So we need to adjust those time deadlines so that the maps are ready in time. But we also, I think, need to recognize some of the important changes that this proposal would set in place and improve our redistricting provision. It doesn't do everything we want it to do. It doesn't set up a full citizen-led redistricting commission, but it does do some very important things. It would guarantee that political districts include all residents, regardless of citizenship status, as originally intended, for fair representation. That would be the first time any state anywhere in the country memorializes that requirement in their state constitution. It would ensure that incarcerated people are not political pawns by memorializing the ban on prison-based gerrymandering in our state constitution, which again would make us a national leader in that redistricting reform. And we believe it would reduce the ability of political parties to manipulate the map-making process by setting one uniform standard for approval of the maps without any regard to the results of any elections. And it also would freeze the number of state senators at 63. The ability to add senatorial districts at will has been a gerrymandering tool that was used in the past. So on balance, what we see is that this is a good improvement and an important step towards the reforms that we think need to be in place.
So Jen, turning to you, why should voters stick with the current system, which has already failed its first test when the Bipartisan Redistricting Commission couldn't agree on one set of draft boundaries? Why not overhaul and improve the process as Susan is pitching?
Yeah, and you know, we agree with Common Cause on the provisions to ensure all citizens are counted. We agree that people who are incarcerated should be reapportioned back to their last residence, but this is already the law. That's already state statute. The U.S. Constitution already provides under the Equal Protection Clause. We need to count all people. And yes, the timeline needs to be changed, but unfortunately, in this case, the timeline is already set for January. So now we're going to condense the timeline that we would have if the first maps fail. And I don't know that that's a good thing, to be condensing the timeline. We want the maps to be really good. We don't want them to be rushed. But the real reason that the League is opposing this amendment is because it's going to change the voting structure for both the commission and the legislature when voting to approve these maps to no longer carefully consider the wants and needs of minority-appointed commissioners and also minority legislators. And when I'm talking about minority party legislators and commissioners, I'm not just talking about Republicans. I'm talking about all of the different minority parties. I'm talking about progressives. I'm talking about working families. I'm talking about environmental Green Party people. I'm talking about everyone basically who isn't the master majority party of Democrats is now going to be disincentivized from participating in this process.
So, Susan, I want to follow up on that last point that Jen made, because when this current redistricting process was being formulated about 9 years ago, you spoke out against lawmakers codifying their role in selecting their own legislative boundaries. Doesn't this amendment essentially double down on that principle by also lowering the size of the legislative majorities needed to rewrite the lines, dropping from a supermajority to a simple majority? It seems like that should automatically disqualify these changes in your eyes.
I'm a little quizzical about why keeping the current system would somehow incentivize parties which don't have any role in the commission to participate in the redistricting process. Our biggest problem with the current provision is that the voting rules shift based on who is in political control of the two houses of the legislature. And a shifting standard of that kind, we think, is a very bad idea. We believe that there should be one standard, no matter who is in political control. And in this amendment, we agree to something which we don't always agree to in other settings, and that is a uniform 60% standard instead of a shifting standard that's 50% in one case and 66% in another case. So if the concern is protecting minority voices, then it's a 60% standard for approval that is in place no matter who is in control of the legislature should address the concern that there has to be more cooperation. But as we've seen, unfortunately, as you pointed out at the beginning, Dave, we're somewhat dancing on the head of a pin in that the structure that we feared would not work well for the commission is actually not working well for the commission. And that's why our long-term goal is after we clean up the things that this amendment would address, that ultimately before the next redistricting cycle, we would like to see a truly independent citizen-led redistricting commission for New York, like we have in California, like we have in Austin, Texas, and like we have in Syracuse, New York right now as well. But not having gotten that through the legislature doesn't mean that we can't accept and we shouldn't move to clean up some of these other things. One of the other things that this proposal does is it removes some of the unconstitutional language that for inexplicable reasons was left to clutter up our Constitution the last go-round. So there are a lot of good things in it. And we believe that it is an improvement and therefore should be passed.
Jen?
Can I just respond to the 60% thing? Because that's actually not entirely correct. It's 60% only if less than 7 commissioners of the 10 vote in favor of the maps. So if 6 out of 10 commissioners only vote in favor, then yes, it's 60%. If 7 of the 10 commissioners vote in favor, it's a simple majority by the legislature to vote to approve the map. So it's a simple majority if the commission agrees. Otherwise, if it's not the 7 out of 10, then it's the 60%. So that rule only kicks in. So we're not necessarily totally uncomplicating this process. It's still pretty complicated. But as far as the idea that we want to take that old language out, everything, the positive things Susan said, yeah, we totally agree. But why are we doing this right now? We are right in the middle of the process. This original amendment passed in 2014. There was nothing preventing the legislature from making these changes back in 2015, 2016, 2017. They waited all the way until 2020 to start tinkering with the process. Why would they do that if not for partisan reasons?
Well, I think what's interesting there is the political reality is that this original provision was drafted to advantage the Republicans who were in control of the legislature at that time.
And well, in control of the Senate, the Democrats control of the Assembly.
In control of the Senate. So long as control of the Senate remained in Republican hands, they were not interested in cleaning up the language. They were not interested in the improvement. They got what they wanted in the 2014 provision, which was a way in which to logjam the proceedings the way they currently are in the current commission. So there was a desire, certainly on the part of many of the people in the legislature, but they were unable to get it done. until there was a change, at which point, particularly once we adopted and both, the League and Common Cause and the entire Let New York Vote Coalition worked extraordinarily hard to move the primary from September to June. Once we accomplished moving the primary from September to June, the need to change the time deadlines in the Constitution really gained urgency. And the truth of the matter is, because of the way in which we amend the Constitution, which is that you have to pass the constitutional amendment through two separate houses of the legislature, we couldn't have done it earlier, much as people wanted to do it earlier. This was the fastest that it could move once we had succeeded in changing the June primary. So the reason we're in the middle of the process now is because of the protections that are afforded to amending our Constitution. And that shouldn't keep us from fixing the time deadlines, which could really be very much out of whack if more time is taken. We are looking at a situation where candidates trying to decide whether they want to run for office and figuring out how to qualify for office might not know what the districts are until the very day that they need to start circulating their nominating petitions. That's just not workable.
Well, Susan, is there anything that would prevent either the bipartisan commission or the legislature, if they decide to draw the lines, from following the principles in the proposed constitutional amendment and following the timeline in the constitutional amendment without actually amending the Constitution? It seems like they could submit, for example, lines prior to January 1st, even if it is required to submit them on January 15th.
So, I mean, they could, but as Jennifer points out, the pressure will be on them to take additional time. That's why the guidelines need to be clarified in advance so that they know what the time deadline is and comply with it, as opposed to people hoping that they will speed up the time frame, but not really knowing what they're going to do and not being able to hold them to a time frame. We've had a problem with this entire body and the entire process, that it has lagged. We had a problem with the appointment of the commissioners being late. We had a problem with the funding for the commission coming down late. There's nothing that leads us to believe that they would speed up this process.
So, Jen, Susan talked about using a citizen-based redistricting process in the future. If you had your druthers, what would redistricting look like in 2030 and beyond?
Oh, yeah. I think Common Cause and League of Women Voters are in 100% agreement about the idea of a citizen-led commission to do redistricting in New York State. It didn't happen in 2014, and the reason we supported the original amendment is it was better than what was happening at that time, which was the legislature, the incumbent legislature, drawing their own lines, basically playing with the lives of New York State voters for their own political gain. And I think I would just say to voters who are listening to this, if you are listening to this podcast or this radio show, and you are like, what the heck are these ladies talking about? This is so complicated. I don't get it. I just am not sure what you guys are talking about. You should vote no on this, because there's no reason that this is being rushed through right now. And voters are not getting a fair shot to actually learn about what's in the amendment. Because as Susan points out, there's a lot of good stuff in there, but there's also a lot of shady, not so good stuff in there. And there's no reason to be rushing this right now.
Well, we obviously disagree. Bad stuff that is in our Constitution should be cleaned up as soon as possible. It allows for scurrilous attacks on the map if the unconstitutional language is left in, which frankly is why I believe it was left in the 2014 version, to allow anybody to attack the map from any different directions and create confusion. We need clarity. We need to have a workable time frame now, not just in 10 years, because this is what is going to control the 2022 election, and we need to have a clearer direction, and we need to have a workable time frame now. And we can't wait for 10 years, because the maps are going to be drawn, they are going to be in place, and people need to know for the June primary, what are the boundary lines for the different districts, and to give candidates a fair chance to determine if they want to run with these new boundary lines. So the sooner we can get this done, the better. As far as, well, people are confused. People were very confused about the 2014 amendment, and yet it got pushed through. There were some, you know, we opposed it, and we felt the current system is not workable. It's not working right. The idea that the commission, because it doesn't include legislators, is somehow independent was something we challenged and got a decision by the trial court, by the Supreme Court of New York, that you can't call this commission independent because it's under the control of the legislature. So the current system needs improvement. The things that are in this proposal are an important step in the right direction, and they get the time frame for redistricting where it needs to be for this cycle.
Well, unfortunately, our time frame has reached an end. We've been speaking with Susan Lerner. She's the executive director of Common Cause New York. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
And Jennifer Wilson, deputy director of the League of Women Voters of New York State. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, David.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.